Troy. Welcome to the Country Hour.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Warwick. Great to be with you.
And, well, first things first, can we get an update on where things are at with your job? Because there's still an Act of Parliament that needs to go through and before you can start operation fully, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The reason it's interim is that there is no legislation there to become a statutory body, so we're a matter of weeks away, from my understanding, for the legislation to be introduced into Parliament, and as I understand, it's bipartisan supported, which is great news, and as I'm hearing right across the basin, the quicker the better is what the communities want for our office to have that independent voice, independent arbitrator, validator and communicator of truth to be established, to get a lot more confidence back.
You're a confident person by saying bipartisan to do with basin plan legislation. Well, I suppose we'll have to wait and see. What do you do in the meantime?
Yeah, so in the interim role, what we've been doing is high-level engagement, whether virtually because of the COVID restrictions early in the last 16 weeks, or face-to-face and getting out on the ground to hear about what the office needs to be constructed like, what sort of functionality we'll have from what is transferred from the MDBA's compliance section across to us, to help us understand how we're going to need to work, identifying field office locations that we've now identified that will be placed so we get access across each of the jurisdictions and be community facing. That's very important. And doing a lot of the machinery government arrangements that are necessary to get an office operational.
So even while you're waiting, you're hiring now?
Yeah, advertisements went out today for five field officers. Who will be the community-facing points of contact for anyone that's involved in the basin that has concerns or has areas within our control and remit of the legislation to go to, and provide that information, be the real interface and face of our office.
Will you have the powers you feel you need to do your job? Your predecessor didn't have the powers to compel witnesses and ultimately walked away from the job because of that. Is that something that worries you?
No, that I've seen the legislation, and while I can't talk to it in specifics because it's part of a process that's before the Parliament, absolutely, there's indicatively, I can give everyone the assurance that the powers are there to allow me to do the job and compel people to provide information and even appear before me in what we call an inquiry to get to the truth of an issue or an answer for matters that may be referred to me by the Minister to investigate, or inquiries that the office initiates to get to the bottom of some problem areas. And we know there's a lot out there. So how it works for everyone's explanation is that we'll receive a letter of expectation from the Minister. What is our role to do? And fundamentally, it's to rebuild trust and confidence in the basin plan, and to make sure that we're communicating independently the truth and breaking down a lot of those myths that are out there that cause a lot of division.
And to find wrongdoing too, as well as that.
Absolutely. But so the second part is to be a regulator of regulators. So the front-end regulation will still be carried out by the states, and some of the delay in the legislation coming forward has been initial how it was drafted. Was there was a lot of duplication, and that doesn't help us do the role, nor does it help the states, nor does it help those being regulated. To who do we are we're answering to? Who are we responsible to? So that's all being cleared up. My understanding is the states are far happier with the legislation now, so there's more clarity and certainty, and we can get on with the job.
How much convincing do you have to do at places like this to tell people that you're not a political appointment? You're a former National Party member itself. When you were announced as a job, it ultimately became a political issue. Does it take a lot of work to try and convince people otherwise?
I think people talk to me for 5 minutes and understand I had no political history going into the job. I was a local member at Dubbo that wanted to get outcomes for my community that was neglected by governments for decades. I got that job done and I left Parliament, I left politics, and I'm happily way, way away from it. And this role's not political. This role is truly independent. We're not policy setters, so that's for the politicians and the communities to debate in the right forums and appropriate forums. Our job is to ensure compliance with the policies, with the regulations, with the plan and the compacts that are out there.
Being in a job like this, though, do you regret having the National Party tag next to your name then? Is that going to make your life harder?
Not at all. I'm not defined by my 8 years membership as the National. I'm 51 years of age. So if you do the math, I've been Troy Grant, served in the police force for 22 years independently. I've served my community and for my entire life, and I've lived in the basin for 80% of my life. So know that I can understand the difference. And
but some people won't understand the difference, and some people won't get past that, will they?
Well, I disagree in that, you know, some of the main critics was Rex Patrick, Senator Rex Patrick, who through the standing committee raised those concerns, through the press raised those concerns. I said any time we'll sit down and meet and address those concerns. I sat down with him. He doesn't hold those concerns anymore. So I don't think they're insurmountable. It's cheap political point scoring, because New South Wales Water Minister, a former colleague of mine, criticised my appointment, said I was capable, competent and experienced to do the job, but shouldn't have it because I was a National. Point to a better reason why I shouldn't have the job, or give some examples of what disqualifies me. I've always been about the community. I've always been about outcomes. And when I was offered the role, a lot of my mates said to me, are you nuts? Like, why would you get into such a complicated, contested and complex area of public policy? And I said, because I'm driven by public service and there's so much to fix and somebody's got to do the job. So I accepted the offer and put my hand up.
So much about what we've heard at this conference, and no doubt you've been listening, has been about trying to restore faith and get people to trust officers, and you've got a big role ahead of you. Thank you very much for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yeah, welcome to, and available to you anytime. Thanks for the opportunity.